Hello, everyone. I call the January 17th, 2017 Personnel and Policy Committee meeting of the Montrose Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
Member Brooks was here. I don't know where she is. So
she stepped out for a phone call.
She'll be right here. Member Gaines?
Here.
Chair Platnick?
Here.
Also in attendance, for the record, is Commissioner Lerman and Commissioner Underdunk.
Okay. First, we're going to start out with approval of the minutes of the January 3rd, 2017 Personnel Policy Committee meeting. I entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the January 3rd, 2017 Personnel and Policy Committee meeting as presented.
So moved.
Is there a second?
It would have to be you because you're the other member here.
I second. Okay. All right. Any discussion? Okay.
Okay. Obviously, you both approve it because you're both, so yes, you meant it. So we have to wait for, we might have to come back and make sure that Commissioner Brooks is here.
Okay. All right. Next, we had on the agenda actually matters from the public. And actually, I'd like, unless someone from the public would like to speak now, I'd actually recommend let's move that towards the end of the meeting.
Yep.
So in case you want to speak, we'll at least have presented a topic. I think okay, so let's just officially remove the minutes of the public till after we discuss some of the policy changes or additions.
Perfect.
Okay. Great. Next, let's move on to some of the proposed policy changes or additions, and Lisa, you'll lead us in that discussion.
I will. So after the last policy meeting, committee meeting, the board directed me to develop a policy with input from the commissioners and our attorney about policy on third-party construction on Park District property. Basically, this policy is designed to protect our assets, taxpayers' dollars, and be a partner with nonprofits. This was not designed for any one group in particular, but to protect the Park District for generations to come. So there's a couple notes. I put just a memo and a couple notes from the from our attorneys. Just one note, when we were meeting with the commissioners, we indicated that we wanted a vote just to make sure that there was a supermajority approving this, construction moving forward. And just so you know, that exceeds the state statute, but you're well within your rights to do it. In the future, a board may challenge it, but they could change the policy anyway. So just they wanted to make you aware of that, but you're well within your rights to do that. And then just the conduct ordinance that we already have on our books has the following provisions. So they just wanted to make a note of that. So I don't know, I'm sure Commissioners had time to read this. Do you need me to go over in detail the policy, or would you like to ask any questions?
I have a big question, if I may.
Please.
My question is, on item number two of the items used in the memo,
sure.
Why did the attorney feel specifically that he needed to make, to address item the second part of this? It really is stipulating that we then go to that supermajority type vote, if I understood that correctly. So you're saying if anyone wanted to do some utility work or what? I certainly understand the concept when we're bringing in a Glencoe nonprofit to partner with us, to use the term loosely for this subject, that we should have a recognized majority, supermajority if you want to call it. The way I read this, if somebody's coming to do utility work or anything, when you're talking about wires and other things, and they've gotten approval, it seems like we're making another hurdle where one isn't appropriate or isn't necessary for that kind of work.
They were just pointing out this is the language currently in our policy. So this is what's currently in the policy that was passed by past boards.
Okay.
So they just wanted to make you aware this. This is how it's written right here.
Lisa, most utilities exist in existing easements.
Yes.
So those easements already exist in, based on the age of the park district, have been so for many, many years.
So that's not really.
And I get that.
There
and
you
I
go.
Get that. I just thought that we were stepping on some of that with this the second part, with what his addition is.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't an addition. It was just pointed out that that's what was already in our ordinance.
Okay.
Yes.
Quick question. This does not include any landscaping on Glencoe Park District property.
This one particularly does
so
not.
So we have a a separate policy for that? It includes a bunch of stuff.
Yes, that would be.
But I'm wondering about landscaping for those properties that border Glencoe Park District property and choose to landscape, encroach in onto the property. I know that that.
We've discussed that. That would be, I recommend a separate policy.
A separate policy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which I'll make the note to have that drawn up for future discussion.
Well, with the exception of what I just commented on, which is really for clarification, I thought this was well written and does a very nice job of explaining our responsibilities and expanding upon what our concerns could be and why it is appropriate to have a 4 out of 5 vote.
Question for staff, sure. Mr. Chairman. Question for staff. Does this preclude the nonprofit from doing work on the property themselves? You know, certainly they would need, for instance, a licensed electrician to do electrical, but for instance, a painting or perhaps there's other work they could do themselves.
As long as it's within the village ordinance, our codes, mm-hmm. Partition code, village codes. If it's well within that, right, they can. So things like painting?
Yeah, well, I'm sure they're just dying to put up some wallboard.
I'm sure they are. But like electrical, no. If it, for example, when we do electrical changes, we have to hire electricians.
Contractor for that. Yeah, that's a state law. Yeah.
Okay, since you're not taking, you didn't take questions.
Do you want to take questions at the end after the board members are done talking?
Yeah, I'll finish it. We're almost done. I think we're going to have plenty of time. So you're not going to vote before you...
We can't take a vote in committee meeting. This is a committee, so we would just advance it out to board meeting to vote. Yeah. Good question.
Lisa Brooks, do you have any other questions or thoughts? Or?
No.
Okay.
Pretty straightforward.
Great. I mean, while we're here, Andre, do you have any questions or thoughts?
No, I'm interested in hearing comments, but thank you for putting this together.
All right. Okay. Good. Commissioner Gaines and Brooks, are you in favor at this point of advancing what we have in front of us for approval at the next board meeting? Gentlemen?
Yeah.
I am also. I think it's well written.
Okay. Great. Then as committee chair, I'd like to advance the policy in allowing for third-party construction on park district land for approval at the February board meeting.
Do you want to ask for any audience input at this point?
Yeah, please. All right, why don't we open up at this point to any audience who wants to speak or talk about what we have at hand?
I always hate seeing government that has rules that aren't necessary because people are afraid maybe it is and maybe it isn't. If instead of a pure not-for-profit, they had been a real estate company who had a wing that does donations and was as interested in Glencoe as they are and said, we're for profit, but we will donate $100,000 plus another $50,000. They would only need 3 votes as a for profit. Is it just not for profits that need 4 votes, or is it anybody who would have done this kind of business?
For cash donation, that goes under another policy. This is just talking about building.
But would it need a super majority?
I don't remember. Do you remember what that one is off the top of your head?
I don't remember off the top of our head.
So, I mean,
I don't remember what the cash donation
that bothers me. And secondly, I know there's a definition of supermajority if it is in fact real estate. Apparently the attorneys don't want to give an opinion on this one, but why is it not using the language of supermajority as compared to a specific number? Because the board members could get expanded or could get contracted and the number would not relate to a supermajority.
Yeah, actually, I thought about that question as I read it today about the 4. Andre's mentioned how it was possible one day the board could expand. And the way I got my arms around it was that, again, this is a policy. The board can change the policy at any time.
I
would envision if the board approved this as is, we don't change it with the 4 votes. If one day the board expanded to 7, I would expect that the board would revisit this policy because it would not be the spirit of what we're trying to accomplish. And it could change anyway.
We would have to revisit a lot of policies.
Yeah.
So, but then it sounds like the board is saying we don't actually think this falls under the rule of a supermajority, but we're doing it in this instance.
This is a very unique and wonderful opportunity. So we've given this a lot of very careful thought. We wanted the community to see that we were being very deliberate in getting a cohesive board opinion on the subject at large. And it's different in that we have another nonprofit entity in the village, in the community, wanting to do something, and they're willing to partner with us on the supervision of it, but they're bringing their own people in to do it. The other method you mentioned in the Coldwell Banker example is making a donation to us for us to execute. So it's a very different scenario. So this has gotten a lot of scrutiny because we're willing to give up the actual implementation of this under staff supervision and with board oversight, but it is a different scenario than what we have done in the past in accepting donations.
Oh, and we're giving up the bidding process also. Yeah, so that's another portion of it.
Well, it's different than what we typically do. When we receive money, we go through our bidded process in-house through the steps. This is
usually a prevailing wage
and that is done already.
Yeah.
That's the difference in my eyes. So.
True. Good point, Carol. Thank you. Kathy?
Yes.
Is that okay, Steve? That's
fine.
Yeah. I'm just going to go.
Kathy. Thanks. Just a quick comment as to the supermajority and why I don't say a supermajority is that a supermajority in this case could be a vote of 4 or 5. And so anytime you have a policy or an ordinance that requires a supermajority, and the statutes do this, it says what the supermajority is. And so you're defining that specifically saying 4 votes. So, and
thanks.
If it ever changes. all of this looks quite understandable to us, you know, for purposes. It looks good to me from both as plain citizen and as representative of the historical society. It's a logical policy. The two things that I would just want to make sure that in your minds, what the Historical Society is proposing falls within this policy. And I'm hoping that that's the case.
Yes.
Because it looks to me like what we've already got in place, like, for example, establish a design committee for the improvements, and I think we've already got that in the works.
We do.
And as for a construction timetable, the work that we are doing with staff, and the meetings that we've had with staff are laying the groundwork for all of that. And I would assume that when we get to the point of laying out a contract and doing the actual donation agreement with the Park District, all of those details will be built in. The only other thing that I would say, you refer to improvements.